Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Shri Balaramaji Maha Mahotsav Ki
Jai.
And you do your Dauji. No.
Balo Shri Dauji Maharaj Ki.
Hare Krishna. Does everybody speak English? A little bit? Oh, you got a translation. Okay.
Gotcha.
So last night we had Arivas. We were getting in the mood to receive the whole festival, especially Lord Balaram. And if I felt foolish last night, I feel even more foolish tonight, daring to share a seat next to my senior godbrother, Dinabandhu Prabhu. But I got an inspiration. The only, when I felt not quite as embarrassed last night when I started asking Dinabandhu Prabhu questions. So I thought, well, just do it again. Ask him some more questions. Because Dinabandhu Prabhu, as you probably know, has been living in Krishna Balaram Mandir for 32 years, so he is a resident, he's a Brijbasi. And I've been simply...
Photocopy.
I've simply been licking the outside of the honey bottle for 46 years. So I do have, I thought a way for me to participate somehow would be to ask some questions. So here you have these beautiful... Neem Panchatattva deities from Namdweep. And as we know, Brajendra Nandana Ye Sachi Sutta Hoilo Se Balaram Hoilo Nitai, that Krishna and Balaram have come in our season of time, in the Kali Yuga, as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So my first question is, Prabhuji, Gornitai, they seem more accessible, easier to approach and pray to than Krishna Balaram. What is your experience at Krishna Balaram Mandir? Because there they have Gornitai and Krishna Balaram and Radhesham. So, are they really more accessible, more easier to pray to, or what's the difference?
The difference is that Krishna Balaram, they're in Madhurya Bhav, very, very sweet. And only those who are very, very elevated, they're able to appreciate that Madhurya Bhav. It is beyond, we were discussing last night, it's completely inconceivable. And Gornitai, they're in Odharya Bhav. Odharya Bhav means overflowing with compassion. They're overflowing with compassion. So they've made it much more easy. In fact, is it Narottam Das song? And he says, Nitaya Karuna Habi Tabi Radha Krishna Pabe. Which you get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, then you can get the mercy of Radha and Krishna. So therefore we see Radha Krishna, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sundar. So they're in this Odharya Bhav, they're overflowing with the most incredible compassion. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva dharmam parijaja mamikam saranam braja ham tvam sarva papivo moksha hishami mahasucha. He demands you surrender to me. But I think it's, isn't it Lochandas? He says, Kevala Nanda Kanda. This process that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have brought, Kevala Nanda Kanda. It is very, very blissful process. And they're overflowing with Odharya. Krishna's demanding. You have, people study Bhagavad Gita for their whole lives and still never understand. But in Gaura-Nitaya, they're not demanding that you become a scholar, that you have lots of money, that you be very beautiful, that you be very aristocratic. In fact, they've come to say, patita pavana hetu tava avatar. They've come to save the most fallen. For Krishna, you have to have some qualification, but Gaura-Nitaya, no qualification. Qualification is that you're fallen. Just like Narottam Das sings, the mosamo patita bhavana hetu tava ava tara. Patit means ourselves. This is a Sanskrit word. Means fallen. Patit. And bhavana means who purifies. So patita bhavana hetu. Hetu means reason or cause. So the reason for your incarnation, patita bhavana, to save the most fallen. Mosamo patita prabhu na paibe ara. Fallen soul like me, you won't find anywhere. And Srila Prabhupada, he very mercifully gives the purport. That since you've come to save the most fallen, there's nobody more fallen than me, then you have to save me first. I have priority. ASAP. You have to save me first. So this is the process. We have to become very humble. Then Mahaprabhu's mercy will come to us. Lord Nityananda's mercy will come to us. Because mercy is like water. It flows down. If you think, oh, I'm a very big, big devotee, then the mercy will flow off to somebody else. They're so merciful. They're so filled with this ordarya bhav that they don't require anything. They've given this process, chanting very loudly and enthusiastically, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even birds, bees, dogs, like we hear on the tape, probably, even a dog can take part in it. So they're in the most odarya mood. So by their mercy, we can get to understand both Krishna and Balaram and Radha Shyam Sundar. I had one Christian friend. He told me, because he was studying our books to try and defeat us, he said, actually, Krishna book I don't understand at all. But Lord Chaitanya, this Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is very interesting. This I can understand. This is very accessible.
Wow. Nice. So Prabhu has been sharing sometimes in little asides how today, because of the Kali Yuga advancement, Vrindavan, it's the forest of Tulsi, 12 forests, but now it looks more like Delhi. So many high rises.
Or Ljubljana.
Or Ljubljana. So many high rises, so much apparent pollution, so many disguises over the dam. So, one of the things Lord Balaram did was, he once killed Dinukasur, the infamous donkey demon, by throwing him into the trees. And of course Krishna joined him and he threw all Dinukasura's cohorts into the trees too and made the forest once again habitable for Leela with the cowherd boys. So I'm curious, if I go to Talavan forest today, tell me it ain't so. Am I going to see a parking lot or am I going to see a forest?
You won't see many tall trees, but there are one, two, three, maybe four tall trees right around the temple. And you'll see a huge kun, Balabhadra kun, named after Balaram. And when I first went there, there was a broken down little temple. There's beautiful, nice carved stone temple there now. And beautiful Krishna is there, Kaneya, and beautiful Dauji Didi is there. And actually, Madhuvan and Talavan are not so far apart by the way the crow flies, but there's no road that the bus can go by to get there. So ordinarily, I take the whole Prikama party and we just walk through the fields. And we don't see much forest, but we see lots of nice trees. In fact, I remember there was one banyan tree. It was so thick with foliage that the kirtan was echoing off of this banyan tree. And as we went along, we went through a sesame seed field. You ever seen a sesame flower? Our Goswamis, they always describe Srimati Radharani as having a sesame flower-like nose. So the first time we passed through that field, I picked a sesame flower and I looked at it. Didn't it all look like a nose? It was a very light color like Radharani. But the next year we walked through, I saw the flower just hanging there on the little plant. There's a little stalk like this, some little stalks like this, and flowers are hanging down. And I looked, and there's one petal, it just comes down and goes, boop, like that. Just turns up, bloop. And the other two petals come on the side, bloop, like that. If you look at it standing on the bush, it looks just like a beautiful little turned up nose. Then I understood this. And it's one of the last paths that's, they keep paving more and more of it, but still there's some place we can walk on the dust of Braj. And we walk all the way to Talavan. And in the temple there's two tall trees. They don't at all, in the old Krishna book, they look like date palms, you know, with the long thin fronds like that. But actually I describe fan palm. They're like this, like a big hand like that. They're fan palms. And they're big, they come in the rainy season, and they have these big sort of barrel-shaped eggplant fruits all around the little stem like that. They're sort of barrel-shaped, and they're dark purple like an eggplant. And then gradually, as they get ripe, they turn bright orange with little, you see at the ends, little tiny highlights of purple still there. And they're much sweeter than mango, but very stringy. So usually what we do is we make juice from them. In fact, one time we went there to Talavan, and that time my dear friend Priyasaran Baba was there. And it was somehow, Kartik started early, so this was a pre-Kartik Prikama, and it was quite early. So one tal fruit was still left on the tree from the rainy season. It was actually, Kartik is also, that's the end of the rainy season, but no more much rain is coming. So immediately he sent one of his disciples up there, they brought it down, they juiced it, they mixed a lot of water with it, and all the devotees were pouring out their bish lahari.
Miss Larry.
Bish means poison. And lahari means waves. It's bish lahari. And they were just filling up with this tal juice. Everybody was drinking tal juice. Well, you won't see much forest, but you'll see beautiful fields and many beautiful things. And you'll still see a few tall trees there.
There's a temple? Is it an ISKCON temple?
No, it's Vishvasi temple.
Okay.
Now the pujari's name is Govindaram.
Well, that's encouraging. It was not all asphalt and paved over. It's good. What's the relationship? We hear that Lord Balaram has some relationship with gravity, the law of gravity, like we pour the water and it goes down because of gravity. What's the relationship between Lord Balaram and the law of gravity? Maybe this question isn't fair. Maybe this is a Sariputta type question, but he's no longer with us.
Yeah, this is a Sariputta question.
But what is that?
I don't know.
What does it mean? Well, at least we know there's consciousness. There's a person behind every natural phenomenon. So somehow Lord Balaram is connected with that law of gravity. Okay. See, that's an honest man. I don't know. He didn't make something up. So over the internet today, I was surprised to read how Lord Balaram came to be married to Revati. And by the way, is Revati Mata Lord Balaram's only wife?
No, Varuni also.
Okay, Varuni, that makes sense. So I read that once upon a time in Satya Yuga, in the season of time where it's more peaceful and longer life and people were much larger, that there was a king, Raivata, and he had a very qualified daughter named Revati. She was so qualified that the king couldn't find anybody suitable to marry her. So somehow he had the facility to take his daughter with him to go to the top, so to speak. He went to Brahmaloka. He went to Brahmaloka, and as we were hearing Brahma Vimohana Leela, a moment on Brahmaloka time is like a year on earth time. So anyway, he took his case, his dilemma, to Brahmaloka with his daughter. They went up there and they said, "Lord Brahma, you please help me find a husband qualified to marry my daughter." So Lord Brahma said, "Oh, that's fine." So they went down to earth, but they were there on Brahmaloka more than a few moments. And actually,
well, what happened was, as per usual, Brahma was in a meeting with all the devatas, so they were waiting.
That's what it was.
And you know, we told yesterday, a meeting is an event where minutes are kept and hours are lost. Hours went by. When they finally asked Lord Brahma the question, and he told all the people he'd interviewed, Lord Brahma said, "The persons you're talking about, they have died, their children have died, their children have died. Nobody even remembers the names of the people you're talking about."
Because a million years had passed in earth time.
But not to worry, when you get back, it'll be Dwapar Yug, and Baldao is there, and Balaram is there in Dwarka.
Yes.
And I've been to the place where they were married, actually.
So it said on this message, it said that Lord Brahma approached Lord Balaram. Balaram agreed, but because Revati, she was way tall. She was from Satya Yuga, so she was way much taller appearing than Lord Balaram. So Balaram, it said, took his plow and gradually made her shorter by pushing down on her head. Can you tell us any more about
that? I thought it was the shoulder, but anyway.
Okay, it said in the head anyway. So, can you tell us anything more about the relationship between Lord Balaram and Revati? Any pastimes? Just two wives, though, because huh? Krishna had 16,108 queens.
Yeah, but Revati and Varuni. And now in Madhuvan, they have a Dauji Didi with Revati and Varuni. By the grace of one devotee from Calcutta. What is it? Asutosh. Avadut. One nice congregation devotee. He's donning beautiful, stout Dauji. And his two beautiful Revati Ma and Varuni Ma. I don't know much about Revati. Because she's the daughter of Raivat, and not far from Somnath Temple, there's a mountain called Raivat, named after Maharaj Raivat. And because she was a daughter, so according to Sandhi of Sanskrit, she became Revati. She was Raivat's daughter, Revati. Just like we met one of the youth tour girls was traveling around, and I thought I recognized her, and she told my mother is Krishna Ras, and my father is Jayanta. And I'm Jayanti. So I said, that's right. Jayanta's daughter will be Jayanti. So Raiva's daughter was Revati. And there's a place called Damodarkund, not far from Somnath. And there's a platform there where Balaram and Revati were married. There's even a Revati Kund there with beautiful steps going. It goes way down, beautiful steps going down. And the owner of, or the manager, I should say, is a trust. So the manager of the trust, he even speaks Russian. Which is a big surprise. Russian devotees took me there because they knew that he speaks Russian. And he warned us, keep your door locked at night and don't go wandering around near the mandap where Balaram and Revati were married. He said, tigers come sometimes.
Wow.
So it's way out in the boondocks where even tigers are still around. So he said sometimes we've seen tigers sleeping on Balaram's wedding place. But much more about Revati, I don't know. Just, it's interesting, if you go just beyond Gokul, there's a village called Dauji. And you see a huge, tall, he must be more than 2 meters tall, Dauji. But you have to go all the way around. There's a side door to the altar, and you can see Revati Ma is there. She's not like a modern Western woman who wants to be in front of everything. She's hiding back like this, very shy. So you can't. So you have to come back like this, and then you can see Revati there facing her husband. Other reason they say she's back there is actually she's not part of Braj Leela. She's part of Dwarka Leela.
I ran out of questions. Can you tell us more about Lord Balaram?
Well, since you mentioned Taliban, well, first of all, we wanted to repeat the beautiful pranam mantra that's in the Pancharatna Pradeep, published by BBT. Namaste Halagraha, Namaste Mushalayuda, Namaste Revati Kanta, Namaste Bhaktavatsala, Namaste Dharani Dara, Namaste Balanam Shrestha. Pralambare namaste tu ehi mam krishna purvaja. Namaste hala graha. Hal means plow. And graha almost sounds like English, grasp. Who grasps a plow in his hand. Namaste hala graha. Namaste mushala yuda. We were describing this morning, sometimes we put a Hanuman club in Balaram's hands. But actually, that's Dwarka Leela. His real weapon is a mushal, but we don't have any word for it in English. A mushal is a thing. It's made out of wood. It's shaped like a pregnant baseball bat. You know, it's got a little place where it's thin like that, where you can hold on to it. And then they make a very hard clay depression in the ground. They put the rice there, and then you beat the rice like this. Because it's very heavy. It's a pregnant baseball bat, so it's very heavy. And that breaks off the chaff. Because the chaff is useless. Useless means anart. Anart, because Baladev, he represents Guru Tattva. Guru's business is to get the anartas out from our heart. So, because that stuff is completely useless. Just like in the winter season, all around Vrindavan, everybody's growing wheat. And it's so nice to get the fresh wheat, and, you know, it's got a little sheath around it, and you pop it out, and you pop a couple of them in your mouth and chew them. They're so sweet. So in Kartik time, in rainy season, everybody grows rice. So in the Kartik time, there's rice fields everywhere. So I thought maybe the rice, you know, off the stem would be very nice. And the rice is very interesting. Because you see all the rice fields, all the rice is bowing down to Krishna and Balaram. It all comes up like this and bows down. So you see them all praying to Krishna and Balaram, everywhere the rice fields. So I broke off a few kernels. I couldn't figure out how to get the stuff off. I think it would just break off in my mouth. So I threw the rice in, started chewing. It's got little edges like this. And because they're like that, they only go one direction. So it was going down my throat and getting stuck. I never tried that again. So it's useless, anards. You have to get it off. So so that's Balaram's actual mushalayuri. He's holding the mushal. Namaste Revati Kanta. Kanta means husband. So he's the husband of Revati, we just heard about. Namaste Bhaktavatsala. And he's very kind to his devotees. We discussed the other day also, Vatsa means calf. As soon as you see a calf, then immediately this Vatsalya Rasa comes in your heart. No, you feel just like a little child you want to pet, you know. So Bhagawan, he's Bhakta Vatsala. When he sees his devotees, he feels very great love and affection for them. You know, just like when you see a Vatsa, when you see a calf. Namaste Dharani Dhara. Dhara, just like Giri Dhari, means to hold. And Dharani means the earth. So he, in his form as Anantashesh, he's maintaining, holding up the earth. Namaste Balanam Shrestha. Balanam Shrestha. Bal means strength. So this is plural. Balanam Shrestha. Amongst the strong, he's Shrestha. He's the best. Shrestha means best. Pralambare namastestu. Ari means enemy. Of course, by Sanskrit, by Sandhi, it's become Pralambare, means the enemy of Pralamba. All glories to the, I offer obeisances to the enemy of Pralamba. Ehimam Krishna Purvaja. Purv means before, and Ja, just like we're celebrating the Janma of Balaram, so Ja, Janma. He was born before Krishna, Krishna Purvaja. He was born before, so that means, Purvaja means older brother. Ehimam Krishna Purvaja. Oh, please come to me, older brother of Krishna. So this is very beautiful pranam mantra for Lord Baladev. So actually, before we continue, just to put us in the right mood, we have a beautiful braj song where both Krishna and Balaram's names are mentioned in that song. And it's very simple. You learn in 2 seconds. Where's the harmonium? Somebody got kartal? Somebody in a vridanga wala? How long do we have till?
7.
7:30.
All right. 7:30.
Oh, you play. I don't know how to play.
Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna kanaiya. Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna kanaiya. Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna kanaiya. Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna kanaiya.
Par means to cross over. Just like in Delhi, it has expanded so much, it went to the other side of the Jamuna. They call that Jamuna Par. Delhi on the other side of the, cross the Jamuna Delhi. Delhi Par, Jamuna Par. So Par means to cross over. So we want to cross over this great ocean of material existence. Par karenge nayare. Nayare means our boatman. We need a boatman to cross over. And how? What is our boat to cross over? Singing the name of Krishna Kanaiya. Because you've been hearing, we're describing Balaram as Dauji. Dau means older brother, so he's called Dauji. And Krishna is a little brother, he's called Kanaiya. So we're going to cross over this ocean of material existence. And our boat is this name of singing the names of Krishna Kanaiya.
Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna kanaiya. Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna kanaiya. Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna kanaiya. Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna Kanaiya. Dauji ka bhaiya.
Krishna Kanaiya.
Krishna Kanaiya.
Dauji ka bhaiya.
Dauji ka bhaiya.
Krishna Kanaiya.
Dauji ka bhaiya. Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna kanaiya. Par karenge
Krishna.
By the way, bhaiya means brother. Dauji ka bhaiya, Dauji's brother.
Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna kanaiya. Par karenge Nayade Bajo Krishna Kanaya Karenge Nayade Bajo Krishna Kanaya Krishna Kanaya Daudika Bhaiya Krishna Kanaya Daudika Bhaiya Bansari Bajaya Bansari Bajaya Giribarudeya Giribarudeya Makanachureya Makanachureya Gaya Chareya Gaya Chareya Rasa Rajaya Rasa Rajaya Parkarenge Naya Rebajo Krishna Kanaya Parkarenge Naya Rebajo Krishna Kanaya Krishna Kanaya Daudika Bhaiya Krishna Kanaya Daudika Bhaiya Bansari Bajaya Bansari Bajaya Makanachureya Makanachureya Giribarudeya Giribarudeya Gaya Chareya Gaya Chareya Rasarateya Rasarateya Parkarenge Naya Rebajo Krishna Kanaya Parkarenge Naya Rebajo Krishna Kanaya Parkarenge Naya Rebajo Krishna Kanaya Krishna Kanaya Lala Ki Sri Daudi Maharaj Ki.
So this is a very famous song in Braj. So we just discussed this morning, we'll just go briefly, how Balaram, he's the first expansion of Krishna. It's two types of expansions, Pamsa and Bibinamsa, living entities where Bibin means separate. We're separate. And Swamsa, those are personal expansions, that is like Balaram and all the Vishnu forms. He expands as the Chaturvyuha, Sankarshan, Vasudev, Pradumna and Aniruddha, and another quadruple expansion, then finally the Karna Dakshai Vishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, the Chirodakshai Vishnu, and Shesha. So that is the tattva of Balaram. He's the first expansion of Krishna. And billions of universes. So we just understand the position of Balaram. Billions of universes coming from him. From the expansion of his expansion, billions of universes coming. So then we explained how first Devaki had six children who had been cursed by Hiranyakashipu, to take that they would be born and killed by their own father, whose name was Kalanemi. So Kalanemi took birth as Kans, and these six sons, who were none other than our good friends, Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moh, Mad, and Matsarya. Kam is lust, Krodh, anger, Kam, Krodh, Lobha, greed, Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Mad means madness, Matsarya means enviousness. So these are our very dear six friends that we keep in our hearts. So they're all killed by Kams because Sanatana Goswami, he describes in his Vaishnava Tosanitika that Devaki represents bhakti and she's afraid of Kams. So by that fear of, Kams represents material consciousness, gross materialist. So by that fear, all these things are cleaned away. We fear the material existence in Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moh, and Matsarya cleaned out from our hearts. Because we want to bring Krishna into our heart. So next, Balaram, he takes, appears in the womb of a Devaki. Actually, our Goswami is described, that is for ordinary people, our Goswami describes it as Mahasankarshan. Because Krishna and Balaram, they never go outside of Vrindavan. So as we described, he's Guru Tattva, so Guru's business to make our heart clean for Krishna to come there. So now Krishna is going to stay in the womb of Devaki for some time. So Balaram, in his form as Mahasankarshan, he appears there to make a nice place for Krishna to come. Then he's transferred to the womb of Rohini, who was in Braj. And actually within her womb was the original Baladev Prabhu. So that Mahasankarshan merged within the Baladev Prabhu, who was already the original Baladev, who was already there. And because he was attracted, just like we know the word Krishna means all attractive, right? It comes from, somehow by Sanskrit is funny, the attract is akarshan. But when you make it into a noun, then by Sunday it becomes, like ar becomes kur. So, akarshan. So he was attracted, so he was sankarshan. He was given the name sankarshan. He was very strong, so he's Balabhadra. And he gave pleasure to all his family members, therefore he was Ram. Ram means pleasure. So, Mother Rohini, she kept that embryo within her womb for a very long time. On this particular day that we discussed yesterday, Jiva Goswami says, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we celebrate on this particular Purnima. Shravan Purnima. It's in Shravan Nakshasha. On our Vaishnava calendar, it says Sridhar. But because it's in Shravan Nakshasha, it's commonly known as Shravan Purnima. This month is known as Shravan Purnima. First month of the rainy season. So, on this Purnima day, then Balaram appeared. And he was just like a lump. He didn't cry. Usually baby comes out, they cry. He didn't cry. He didn't open his eyes. He didn't move. In Hindi, we say jadvastu. He was just a dull matter. You know, jadbara, dull fellow. He was dull. But whenever Mother Yasoda, who had Krishna within her womb, that's another secret we'll tell some other time, because actually Mother Yasoda is the real mother of Krishna. That was Vasudev Krishna who appeared on the other side of the river. Then all of a sudden he becomes very lively. He opens his eyes, he smiles, he moves. And as soon as he goes off Mother Yasoda's lap, So the next month it is known as Bhadra because the Purnima will come in Bhadra Nakshatra. We call it Rishikesh on our Vaishnava calendar. So on the, and now it's Purnima, so the moon will become small, so that's considered to be the dark half. On the Krishna Paksh Astami, Krishnastami day, then Krishna appeared 8 days later. As soon as Krishna appears, then Baladev, he becomes very lively and very happy. There's some interesting details that we pick up from Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu and Ananda Vrindavan Champu. So, we went to Talavan. Actually, That section is very, very beautiful. It's Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherd boys. They head to the forest. And as they're going through the forest, Krishna, he begins to glorify Balaram. He said, just see how all these trees are bowing down to you. All the bees intoxicated with honey, they're humming your glories. And he just goes on into all the... I can't remember all the things. He just glorifies Lord Balaram like this. Because he's setting Balaram up to, you know, I killed so many demons, now your turn. So, as I told, the tal fruits come in the rainy season. So the pastimes are going through the forest and Krishna is glorifying Balaram. Suddenly, Sridham says, oh, Rama, Rama, Mahabaho, oh, look, Balaram with the big, strong arms, Mahabaho, raw, strong arms. Smell of ripe, tall fruits is coming. So, living in Vrindavan for so long, I've seen that in the summertime, the wind blows from the west side. We call it the loo. It blows off the Rajasthan desert, completely dry. Sometimes you can even die if you're not careful. You dehydrate very easily. The loo starts blowing and you can dehydrate. And I know one devotee, he was coming. In old days, there wasn't these auto rickshaws. I think he was coming by regular rickshaw from Mathura to Vrindavan, and the loo began to blow and he just fainted. And that, luckily it was on his rickshaw while he took him to Sambhrishbazi's little mud hut, and they covered him with wet cloth and they poured water on his forehead and he woke up. So that blows from the west. As soon as you feel the cool breeze blowing from the east, then you know rainy season is coming. So I was speculating that the cowherd boys were probably on the western side of Talavan, because the wind was blowing from the east and they were getting the scent. And now we have this Sararta Darshani Tika of Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur explains there that the wind in the rainy season blows from the east. So the cowherd boys, they were on the western side. So my speculation was correct. And it's described in, I believe it's Padma Puran, that it's between Mathura and Govardhan. It's right in the middle. It's actually a fact. So he was telling, oh, this nice fruit is there, but there's this demon named Denukasura, he's there. Denukasura, he was a very, very powerful demon. He was in the form of an ass. Now, asses, ordinarily, they only eat grass. The ass eats grass. But this Denukasura, he was such a demon, he was a man-eater. It's described, he was a man-eating demon. Ass. And it's interesting why Krishna asked Balaram to do this job. Because the history of this fellow, he was the son of Bali Maharaj, who's a descendant of Prahlad Maharaj. And his name was Sahasik. And in the Ganda Madana mountain range, Durvas Rishi was meditating, and this Sahasik came there with 10,000 young girls and was enjoying so many pastimes. And their noise and laughter disturbed Durvas Rishi's meditation. So we know Durvas Rishi, he's very famous for being angry. So he cursed him. You ass-like fool, you should become an ass, and you will remain an ass for 4 lakhs of years, 400,000 years. Then Balaram will come and liberate you. Now, why Balaram? Actually, it doesn't describe in Srimad Bhagavatam, but in other Puranas it's described that one of the benedictions that Prahlad Maharaj asked from Nrisingadev is anybody in our vamps, in our dynasty, you should never kill again. So Krishna can't kill the Denukasura because he's Sahasik. He's the descendant of Prahlad Maharaj, son of Bali Maharaj. So Krishna can't deal with it. So then Balaram, he entered the forest and he grabbed one of those big tall trees. I'm getting some sound effects also. He began to Sometimes we did Govardhan Prikama and we got the multimedia presentations. If you've ever been to Puri, all along the railway tracks, you'll see these big, long, tall, they're fan-shaped leaves, not like a date palm with thin leaves like this. Big fan. You know, they're very tall. So he grabbed one of those tall trees, and I've tried it. This is not a very tall tree in Taliban. I can't even move it one, I don't know what's next after millimeter. At Balaram, he just took it and he shook it like that, and all these fruits came falling down. Thud, 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 thud. So asses, you've seen, they have big ears. So Denukasura, he was sleeping, but he heard all this. He said, who dares to come in my forest and steal my tall fruits? Because he was a great servant of Kans. He used to protect this forest, and he would give all those fruits to King Kams. He would send them to Mathura for the pleasure of King Kams. Whatever was left over, he and his ass friends would eat. But they never let any Brishvasi or any Vaishnava ever touch those fruits. Big demon. So immediately, he began reciting his poetry. And he came before Balaram. First thing he did was he turned his back. You never turn your back to the deities, to the lords. He turned his back. Then what did he do? He began kicking on Balaram's chest. Balaram didn't feel a thing.
I have to say one thing. Has anybody ever seen an ass kick? I mean, it's lethal. You can actually die from a kick from an ass. Go ahead.
But Balaram didn't feel a thing. Then he ran around again, reciting his poetry. Then again he put his back to Lord Balaram and began kicking on his chest. Now Balaram had had enough. He grabbed him by the hind legs. He swung him around and around and around and around and around. And he picked out the tallest tall tree and he threw him in the top of that tall tree. Now, just by the swinging around, he lost his life. And he went in that tall, tall tree. That tall tree fell over, hit the next tall tree. That one hit the next one, all through the forest. Bing, 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 like dominoes. All these tall trees came crashing down. So then all of Denukasura's ass friends, they got infuriated that Balaram is killed. Now Krishna can get into the act. Denukasura is finished off, so now he can get into the act. So then they were just grabbing these ass demons and throwing them. All different colored asses were there. So some were dark, some were light colored. It looked like so many colored clouds in the trees. Actually, I'm just remembering that in Govindadweep in Ireland. Anybody been to Govindadweep?
The island. Yeah.
Years ago, we used to do Braj Prikama there. Somehow the new president, he's not into us. I haven't been there for years. But anyway, we used to do. And we come to Taliban, and they'd have this stuffed donkey there. And they'd have they have this cutout, beautiful painted cutout of Balaram throwing him. And when I would describe the pastime, they would pull this rope, and Denukasura would go up into the tree.
I saw that. Yeah. It's still there. I was just there.
This is a wonderful service of a wonderful devotee named Mahamantra. She's. Everybody knows Parasaram, right, from Food for Life in London. That's Mahamantra Dasi is his sister, and she's much prettier than him. So she made this whole Braj Mandal all over Govindadweep. So anyway, they were throwing them big mess. All the asses were bleeding, and there were different colors, and you know, some red was there, so some like clouds at sunset time. It was all clouds in the trees. That was a big bloody mess. So the Kahur boys, they thought, oh, this is a big mess. Bismillah Chakravarti Thakur, the Kahur boys didn't eat the tall fruits that day. But living in a forest with the Palindas, probably translated as Aborigine girls. So they're low-caste people. They don't worry about these types of cleanliness and these types of things. So they collected those fruits. But as I said, this is the first month of rainy season. So the rains came. Gradually, all the mess was washed away. And then the Brishbhasinis used to come there and enjoy tall fruits. And Kamsa was furious that no more tall fruits were coming to Mathura. And the Vaishnavas and Brishbhasis were enjoying these tall fruits. So, our Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes that Denukasura, he's ass, so he represents that ass-like materialistic enjoying mentality. Because ass is known for not being very intelligent. Eating grass and trying to squeeze out some enjoyment from eating a little bit of grass and like that. So this is our position. We're in this ass-like mentality of work hard and enjoy hard. That's the slogan in America. If you go to America, work hard, enjoy hard, you know. And it's described, he's working very hard, he's carrying loads. We hear all these stories. But if you go to Vrindavan, then you can see right in front of your eyes, carrying the bricks, carrying the sand, piled up with laundry on top of, you know, big pile of laundry. It's not even, they're not even carrying load for themselves. They're carrying the load for somebody else. Just like us, we're working for some boss. He gives us a little bit of money and he's making millions and millions of dollars. We're doing work for him. We're carrying his load and he's making all the money. So we're just asses like that. Just work hard and enjoy hard. And what happens in the day, his master gives him a little grass. Everywhere he was walking, there was grass. But he's thinking, if I don't work hard, how will I eat grass? How can I eat grass without working hard? Just like there was some dacoits in the forest, and some merchants came through. They saw the dacoits. Immediately they gave them all their money and all whatever their goods they had. They immediately gave them. Then the dacoits just began to beat them up like anything. They said, we gave you everything. What's the matter? Unless we do some work, how are we going to digest? So the materialist thing is like, if I don't work hard like an ass, how am I going to enjoy? All he gets is a little grass. Just like us, all the governments of the world cheating us. They just give us this paper. There's nothing behind it. Prabhupada pointed with his cane at all these big tall skyscrapers. He said, very soon they will all be finished. People realize it's all just, now it's not even paper, it's all just it's electronic bytes. There's nothing behind it. So we're working hard like an ass and we're getting less than grass. At least grass is something useful. We can feed it to the cows at least to get some milk. And then after filling his belly, this example we also hear in Prabhupada's books about the ass, and he goes to the she-ass. And what does she do? She kicks him right in the mouth. And if you come to Braj, and you stay there for some time, you will see this. We read about this example, but you can see before your very eyes. He comes behind the she-ass, and she kicks him right in the mouth. Just the way he said. And mouth is a little bit hollow. So there's this horrible hollow sound. Now his lips just got smashed against his teeth. He makes the most horrible face. Quick. Then he goes again and poof! Like that. So this is the foolish ass. Simply trying to enjoy this material world and completely blind to spiritual life. This is what the ass represents. As he's so foolish, actually, in India, he's known as Vaisak Nandan. Because the month just before, or actually first month of the hot season is called Vaisak. When it starts to, when the lowest it gets is 40 degrees. Confirmed. So you can imagine it's very dry, it's 40 degrees, grass is hardly anywhere. So, but the ass, he becomes very fat in the Vaisak season. Because he eats a little grass, then he goes ahead, eats a little more grass, he goes ahead, eats a little more grass, he goes ahead, he walks for kilometers and kilometers, then he looks back and he says, wow, I went so far, I must have eaten a lot of grass. And so he becomes happy. And you probably know some, you know, just like my good associate Sarvabhauma, he's very jolly, he's always happy, so he's very fat. We see happy people, generally they're a little fatty. So he becomes very fat. Because he thinks, when he becomes fat, he relaxes and his digestion is good. Then the rainy season comes. There's grass everywhere. He's eating the grass. And he hardly moves anywhere. He just eats and eats and eats. He looks back, I didn't go anywhere. He eats some more, he looks back, I didn't go anywhere. He becomes worried, I didn't get anything to eat today. He becomes worried, and we see worried people, they become very thin. So in the rainy season, ass is very, very thin and sickly. This is the foolish position, this is the foolish materialistic mentality. So he's killed by Balaram. Because Balaram, as we said, he represents Adi Guru. So that is Guru's business, is to free us from this enjoying mentality. And we don't do that by any dry process. Just like I was in one in Houston temple. And somehow there was a very great devotee, he's no longer in this world, my dear Gaba, the Srinath Prabhu. He was into this false austerity at that time. And he was an older devotee, because he was a devotee for 6 months. So all the other brahmacharis looked up to him. And you won't believe it, but in old days we were so poor, we didn't even have paper plates. What to speak of, you know, steel plates or anything like that. We used to take wax paper. Do they have wax paper nowadays? We used to just break off little squares of wax paper, and that was our plate. So he would rip off half of his, you know, and he put half of his, you know, half of the rice, half of the sabji, half of the chapatis. So all the other young brahmacharis, they'd look that he's, you know, he's the older devotee, so they would also do the same thing. So somehow Ridayananda Maharaj came to become the president. He watched this drama for one day. Then he told me to cook three times whatever I was cooking. He said, you cook three times. And I said, you're getting the karma. These people don't eat. You know, my wife and I, we were taking whatever everybody left over. We were having a good time. So I said, you're the president. You're getting the karma. Because they don't eat anything. It's all going to go to waste. And I'm not going to take the karma. So all the devotees came home. We piled up the plates like this, you know. The younger brahmacharis or sikhas went, and Srinath was rubbing his head. And then Rihanna said, we're not dry Buddhists that you can break like a stick. We're Vaishnavas. We should take prasad and be jolly. So we're not into dry renunciation. Just like I remember, there was a young boy. He lived, I think, in Arizona, New Mexico, someplace in those old days we didn't have a temple. But going through some airport, he got a book. Then it said, you know, you can write to Watsika Avenue and get more information and more books. He got more books. Finally, they told him, you know, they sent him some japa beads, told him how to chant japa. They told him how to offer his food, like that. So then Prabhupada was coming. So whoever was corresponding with him told him that Prabhupada's coming to L.A., you should come. So he came to L.A. So we invited him to come on the morning walk with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada used to go to Venice Beach. And so we're walking along the sand, and suddenly this boy blurted out, Prabhupada, I read in your books, wherever a pure devotee goes, stays, then all material enjoyment goes away. Prabhupada stopped his walking, he turned around to see who was speaking, he pushed his cane into the sand, he said, we do not say do not enjoy. Where have you said not to enjoy? You were not in the kirtan this morning? Oh yes, Prabhupada, that was not enjoyable? Oh yes, Prabhupada, that was very enjoyable. You did not hear the Srimad Bhagavatam class discussing Krishna philosophy? Huh? Yes, Prabhupada. That was not enjoyable? Oh, yes, Prabhupada. That was very enjoyable. I said, yes, this is enjoyment like a human being. And this dance and drink all night in disco club, is that enjoyment? Oh, no, Prabhupada, that's not enjoyment. No, that is enjoyment like cat and dog. The Prabhupada said, we don't say don't enjoy. We say you enjoy like a human being. You chant and dance, chant Krishna's name, you dance in ecstasy for Krishna, you offer nice gulab jamuns, rasgulas, sandesh, puris and sweet rice and paneer sabji, offer all nice things to Krishna. We don't say don't enjoy, but you enjoy like a human being. And so Krishna consciousness is very joyfully performed. So it's not that the devotees there, missing anything. We have a higher enjoyment. Param drishtra nivartate. By engaging our senses in the service of the controller of the senses, then our senses become satisfied. By trying to satisfy them directly, we become frustrated. We become frustrated because we can never satisfy the senses. They're just beating us. Give me more, give me more, give me more. Therefore we're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare means that spiritual energy of the Lord. Now this material energy has just been beating us since time immemorial. Serve me, serve me, serve me. I can remember in L.A., Prabhupada said, so for millions of years you have tried to satisfy your senses. Can anybody say, now I'm fully satisfied? And when you hear Prabhupada say satisfied, you can understand what it actually means. Anyone can say? No, no one can say. But the trick is, if you try to satisfy your senses, you never become satisfied. But if you engage your senses in the service of the controller of the senses, Govinda, then you become pleased. Then we see the devotees, they're always very bright-faced. Prabhupada writes that in his book, all my disciples, they're very bright-faced. Before they were very unkempt with hair all over the place and dark-faced, now they're bright-faced and dancing like peacocks. Just like in the old days, practically all we did was Harinam Sankirtan. So people saw us everywhere in the world where they went. So one guy stopped me on the street. He said, I see you guys in New York. I see you in London. I see you in Paris. I see you in Tokyo. I see you in Sydney. I see you everywhere in the world. And you guys are always smiling. You guys are always smiling. I can't understand it. You're in these horrible cities. It's all polluted, this and that, and you guys are smiling. Because our happiness is coming from within. It's not dependent on this external situation. We're receiving a happiness from within. Because that is... that serving the control of the senses satisfies the soul. So we're not dependent on our material circumstances. We're experiencing a happiness from within. So this is Guru's business, to get us out of this gross materialistic enjoyment, mudha mentality, and engage us in the wonderful service of Krishna. So we were just mentioning in this pranam, Palambari. He was the enemy of Pralamba. There's one time, the cowherd boys, they were on the other side of the Jamuna. There's a very beautiful forest called Banjiran. And there you can see forest. The government has built a big wall. There's all around this agricultural land, but they built a wall around this little forest. And you can see nice pilu trees, and especially Kartik time. No, the Gorpanima time, the pilu fruits are coming. In the Kartik time, the gunja beads are coming. The gunja berries, you know, they make the gunja malas from the little red and black. When we come to Banjarvan, all the little kids come and they bring gunja berries to sell to the devotees. Because it's very difficult to get them. The leaves actually is very good for digestion. The bead itself is poison. But the leaves, they taste almost like sort of a licorice type taste. They're very good for digestion. So they always grow in creepers that have big thorns so that the animals won't eat them. So to get the gunja berries, you have to scratch your hand to pieces. So the little kids, they have small hands, they can get them out of the bushes. And beautiful kadamba trees are there. and tamal trees are there, and this huge bandir bat tree is there. So the cowher boys, they entered the Bandirban forest and they came to the Bandirba tree. It was giving nice shade. So at that time, one demon named Pralamba, he took the form of a cowher boy. And Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that actually, one boy, his mother had kept him home. So Pralamba took advantage and took the form of that particular boy who didn't come that day, so nobody would suspect. He thought he was being very clever. But Krishna immediately recognized him and he winked at Lord Balaram. And Balaram also... No, actually he didn't. That was another pastime. Anyway, that was Vatsasura. Pralambasura, he didn't say anything. He even kept Balaram in the dark about this Pralambasura. So as described, they had different types of games. Sometimes they would try to touch one cowherd boy and not be touched. If you got touched, you know, then you were the, and you couldn't touch back, you were the loser. They would, one boy would come behind and put his hands like this, and just by the feel of his hands, you had to guess his name. So they divided into two teams. And Pralamba thought, this Krishna, he's very powerful. Better I not oppose him. I should be on his team. And somehow, Krishna's team lost. How is it possible the Supreme Personality can lose? He's known as Ajita, unconquerable. But in this Braj Leela, it's covered completely with Madhurya that Krishna even becomes, he takes pleasure in being defeated by his devotees. They have so much love for him. They don't think that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no awe and reverence. They're crawling on his back. You crawl on the back means your feet are touching. If you crawl on someone's back, your feet are touching. You know, if somebody came up and tried to put their feet on the deities, well, beat the heck out of them. You know? But they're crawling on Krishna and Balaram's backs like this. It's completely most ecstatic leelas are there. So those who lost, the team who lost the game, they had to carry the other team on their backs. So Sridham and others, they were on Balaram's team. Sridham got on the shoulders of Krishna. And Pralambasura, he made sure that Balaram got on his shoulders. And then he ran. They were all running around underneath the Bandirbat tree. This tree is enormous. Padma Purana describes it looks like a mountain. You'll hardly ever see a huge banyan tree like that. He ran beyond the boundary of that banyan tree, because he wanted to get out of Krishna's sight. He didn't want to see what Krishna... He wanted to attract Krishna's attention. He was going to cruelly kill this Balaram. But Balaram, he's practically as heavy as Mount Sumeru. So he was running and running. Gradually became very heavy.
Gravity, there it is.
So... that Pralambasura, he couldn't carry him anymore, so he suddenly expanded into his original form. And it said Balaram was astounded. This cowherd boy has changed in all aspects. And it described that Balaram became frightened. How Balaram can become frightened? And Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that actually, one reason was this was just for Leela. Balaram just showed this frightenedness just for Leela. Other was that he was worrying about Krishna. That it may be that Krishna was coming to help and he was worried about Krishna. This way he became frightened. So then it appeared he was like a big glowing cloud carrying the moon. Balaram is white, so he's like a big glowing cloud carrying the moon. And Balaram just whirled his hand around and gave him a big punch. And blood became, he looked like a mountain with red oxide flowing down the side of the mountain. And he came crashing to the ground, completely finished. And all the cowherd boys came running and they all embraced Balaram, said, Sadhu, Sadhu, very well done, very well done. So this Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, he, Prahlamba, he's this deceitful mentality. That we try to disguise ourselves as a great devotee. Just like you see so many people advertising for doing a Bhagwat, we call it Bhagwat business. Bhagwat is meant to free us from material existence, but they're just making money and enjoying life and building big houses for themselves like this. This is appearing like devotee. This is deceitful. Just like sometimes in Madhuvan, we tell the story about Lavanasur. There was one Lavanasur who lived there in Madhuvan. And he stopped all Harinam, all Yajna, any worship of the Lord, he stopped. And he began to persecute all the sadhus in the forest. And he made a rule, there could be no worship of Bhagawan in my kingdom. He said, there's no other Bhagawan except Lavanasur. Lavanasur hi Bhagawan hai. I'm the real Bhagawan. Bhagawan Lavanasur ki? Oh, see? We have some Prahlambasuras here disguised as devotees, but they're demons.
I think you woke them up. The key,
so this deceitful mentality is represented by our Prahlambasura. So then Krishna Balaram and all the cowherd boys, they joyfully went back to the village. They were, because all along while they were playing their games, Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur, at the same time they were grazing the cows all the time, playing games and grazing the cows all at the same time. So now in the evening it's time to go home. Just like that's the time when we do that 4 o'clock or 4:30 artik, Uttapan artik we call it. That time of the day is called Gol Duli. Now you know Gol, right? Cow, huh? And Duli?
Das.
Oh, somebody, we have a Panditani, all right. Dust. Duli means dust. So when the cows come home in the afternoon, they kick up dust from their hooves and it makes a big cloud in the sky. And Nanda Baba, he sees that cloud, he knows, oh, Krishna and Balaram are coming home. So that time of the day, because that Goduli cloud is there, time of that arti, that time is called Goduli. So everybody knows. So especially all the young girls, they all run to the tops of the roofs to see Krishna and Balaram passing through the streets of the village. Everybody else comes out of the house, but the girls, they run to the roof. And Krishna, with his eyes, he puts his hand on Balaram's shoulder. He pretends to be talking to Balaram, but he's actually looking up at the girls on the roof and giving them little signals with his eyes. Actually, I had a very, very dear friend of mine named Shamdas. You ever met Shamdas from Balab Sampradaya? He wandered around Braj.
Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard of him.
He wandered around Braj long before ISKCON was in existence. So somehow he ran into Balabhacharya, Balabha Sampradaya, and became Pusti Bharg. But he had a lot of us. Actually, one of the few people that he could relate to was me. I sort of was his entrance into ISKCON Association. I didn't try to heavy him out. I accepted him. He's found his ways of worshipping Krishna. So, but more than me, he knew Braj culture upside down and backwards. And he could sing these beautiful Braj songs. And he had one song. It's all about Krishna and Balaram entering the village with the cows. And the way he sings the song, you can hear the hooves of the cows clacking on the cobblestone paths, He would just sing, tickety 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 ta, takety tickety tickety ta, tickety 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 ta, takety tickety tickety ta, takety tickety tickety ta, kisiko ha, kisiko na. Kisiko ha, kisiko na. It's like you guys say nay. When we also say nahi, but sometimes we say na. And to say ya, we say ha. So kisi ko ha, kisi ko na. Because the little gopis, they're throwing little, the song is talking about how the gopis are wadding up little pieces of paper with a note on it and throwing little wads at Krishna as he enters the village. And Krishna is opening them. So somebody is saying yes, huh? And somebody is saying no. What is that? He's saying, yes, I'll meet you in the forest tonight. And to the other, he's saying, no, not like last night where I didn't come. So kisi ko ha, kisi ko na. So then he goes through the village to his Nanda Bhavan, house, the palace of Nanda Maharaj, and Mother Yasoda bathes him and feeds him nice dinner along with Balaram. They sit with Nanda Baba. So this is a very wonderful pastime. There's another pastime. Because we already mentioned this Vatsasura. No. Yeah, we mentioned Vatsasura. But there's another, who is this? Vyomasura. Vyom actually means sky. Just like you may have heard of Paravyom, the spiritual sky. Param, the supreme sky. Paramvyom, spiritual sky. Just like in Brazil, and where? Rio or Sao Paulo? Rio. Rio, we have very dear God brothers named Parabion. Very wonderful fellow. So this Vyomasura, he had the ability to go in the sky. So one time, Krishna Balaram and the cowherd boys, they were playing right near Govardhan. And they were playing cops and robbers. Because little boys, they like to play games like this, sometimes war, sometimes cops and robbers. So some boys became cops, some boys became robbers, some boys were sheep herders, and some boys were sheep. So the robbers would try to steal the sheep from the sheep herders, and the cops would try to arrest the robbers. And Madhu Mangal, he was the judge. Look, if you give me a few ladus, I'll let you off. So somehow, Pralambasura, he mixed gold through the sky all the way to one of the farthest forests. Anybody ever been to Kamyavan? In Pralambasura's cave? A few people, all right. With Kamyavan, we say chickeny. It sounds almost like what it means. Chickeny. So then all the cowherd boys, then Krishna took the brock out of the hill and all the cowherd boys came out. Now they're very hungry. So they went across the fields away. There's a place called Bhojan Thali or Bhojan Stali. There's two names. Thali, of course, you know, we know means the silver, the plate, and Stali means place. So either way. And you should never go there empty handed. You have to make a little, you have to bring some type of boga. I always stop at the sweet shop in Kamyavana near the bus stand and buy some sweets, and then we go there and make a nice offering. Because on Brajmanda Prikama, there was a group, there's a place just near Madan Mohan called Haribol Kutir. It's a very nice devotee named Pitambar Baba. And he takes out a group from Haribol Kutir. And sometimes they're with us, sometimes ahead of us, sometimes behind us. But in Kamyavan, they're with us, but they're just a small group, so they reach there first. And they used to have, because there's a big rock, and they would put their giraj on top of that rock. I'm getting ahead. We should tell the story first. So Balaram and Krishna, they all came there. And they sat down to take bhojan, and there was no thali, there was no plate. So the stone made little thalis and katoras for Krishna and Balaram to eat. So you can see the little two thalis are there and two katoras are there. So this Pitambar Baba's group, they would come there first before us, and they would have pie. They had, on the middle rock, they put their little giraj, and they had piles and piles of most incredible sweets and samosas and so many incredible things. And they would sing their little song and make their bhog offering. Then we would come along and we'd offer khichdi and bananas. The big international prikama. And I was, because I can understand Hindi, so I get the pujaris are talking, these, you know, Bengali means Kangali, he's destitute, nothing. And they make such nice offering, and this big international group comes, Khitri and bananas. So I told Lokanath Maharaj, next time you have to make a nice offering. So now we make nice offering there. So you never go there to Bhojan Thali without bringing some bhog offering to make. But one interesting thing was, they had a big, thick book of Narottam songs in Bengali, this Pitambara Baba's group. And we know the Bogartik song of Bhaktivinod Thakur, but he had a Bogartik song of Narottam Das Thakur. Mm-hmm. And it's a very interesting little song, because it describes, it leads up to the bhojan, taking lunch together. It describes how Balaram was walking, because right in front of Bhojan Thali there's a kund called Shir Sagar. Because on the up above, there's a dude, there's a little katora, but it's Balaram knocked it over, so his feet right spilled, and you can see it. Of course, now they put cement over it, but you can see this white line coming down the rock, and then, you know, there's a floor you can't see under the cement. Then you can see going into the kund, this little white line. So it became known as Shir Sagar, where the milk went into the water. So anyway, he sings this beautiful song from Narottam Das Chok, where the Balaram's walking along. And it's very hot. So he sees this nice kund. So he decides to take his bath. And he goes into the kund. And he looks down in the water. And he sees there's another cowherd boy just like him in the water. And he becomes so shocked, he begins to stutter. So they sing the song in a stuttering way. Ki 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 tu 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 po 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 da chai. Ki 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 tu 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 po 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 da chai. Ki 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 tu 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 po 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 da chai. Balaram's so shocked, he's stuttering. Who are you? Ki 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 tu po da chai. What is your introduction? Who are you? So then Krishna passed by. He saw Baldao standing in the middle of this kund. It's hot outside, and he's talking. It must be too hot. He's talking to himself. So then Krishna immediately made some clouds come. The light went away and Balaram didn't see the boy anymore. And then Krishna said, hey, thou, it's time to eat. Come. So then all the cowherd boys, they come. And everybody says, Krishna and Balaram's going to sit next to me. Stoka Krishna says, Krishna and Balaram sit next to me. And Ujjwal Sakha says, no, Krishna and Balaram sit next to me. And Vasudama says, Krishna and Balaram going to sit next to me. And Sridham says, no, Krishna and Balaram going to sit next to me. And Sudama says, no, Krishna and Balaram going to sit next to me. And Sangramajit says, no, Krishna and Balaram going to sit next to me. Madhumangal says, no, Krishna and Balaram going to sit next to me. And Arjun Sakha says, no, Krishna and Balaram going to sit next to me. In this way, everybody's arguing like where Krishna and Balaram is going to sit. And somehow they all sit down, and everybody sees that Krishna and Balaram is sitting with them and nobody else. This is the amazing pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. And then the song goes on like Bhakti Luchi Chini Sarpuli Ladu Rasa, talking all about the wonderful feast. But that's the introduction to the song.
Did Bhaktivinoda take that from Narottam? Because Narottam was first.
Well, I don't know if it's Luchi. I couldn't follow it. But the point is, it just describes all the preparations. It's like Bhaktivinoda. In fact, somebody told me near the, I don't know if it's in Orissa or Bengal, but on the near the border between Orissa and Bengal, there's the ashram of Bhaktivinoda's followers. And they sit down to take prasad. There's several preparations on their plate. And they sing some song of Bhaktivinoda for each preparation. Then they eat that preparation. Then they sing the song for the next preparation. Then they eat that preparation. Then they sing the song. In this way, they take prasad. We just see the prasad. But they sing a song, eat something, they sing. I can't resist. The ladies there, one is named Krishnabati. And the other one's name is Maya. The two ladies that are always there. And they told me an interesting story. That Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys, they all came there. This is Bhojan Thali. They came to take Bhojan, take lunch. So everybody was giving something to Krishna from their plate. Everybody was taking from their plate. But Madhumangala, he's a Brahmin, so Brahmins generally are not very wealthy. Hmm? All he had was some chach. Now, you probably don't know what is chach. We pray for it on Braj Mandaprika. Everybody gives it away. You can't sell it. In Braj, when we want to make butter, instead of scraping off the cream and churning that, we take the whole milk, turn it into the yogurt, and then we churn it into butter. What's left over, that is the real buttermilk. Hmm? Everybody has tons of, they give it away for free. Very, very healthy. Even I'm not supposed to take yogurt, but Ayurveda does. You take as much chach as you want. So, in fact, Basu Goshi has one song. What is that? Bhojanante shakram pivatam. Shakram means chach. At the end of your meal, you take some buttermilk. Dinante dugda pivatam. At the end of the day, dinam ante, end of the day, you take milk. Ratrante, you take water. Ratrante, jalam pibatam, you take water. And I can't remember the Sanskrit for the last, but the meaning is, then what is the use of a doctor? So, all Madhumangal had was some chach. And that was from the day before, so it's gone a little tangy. So he hid. Because he's embarrassed. Krishna will ask him for something. All he's got is this day-old chach, you know. But Krishna is in everyone's heart. He knew Madhumangal's hiding behind the rock. So he went around the rock, and Madhumangal was there, and he took all his chach, but he drank so much, it's stuck in it. He can't drink it all at once, so it's just in his cheeks like this. So Krishna came, and he punched his cheeks, caught the chach, and oh, Madhu! This is a sweet. Anyway, this is a little Brishbazi story. So I guess we should put our voice to rest here.